Good morning, friends and family. Hope you've had a great start to your Sunday morning. And so excited to be here on the Sunday Morning Breakfast Inspirational Morning Call, where we are now starting at 9 a.m. So thank you all for joining in. And we're ecstatic to be talking about Before You Say I Do. This has been a fascinating topic, and for those of you who may have missed the call on Wednesday, I highly recommend going to SundayMorningBreakfast.org and getting a copy, because we really talked about what it is to make a commitment before you say, I do. Not only making a commitment in any relationship, but most importantly, making that commitment to God. So before you say, I do has truly reminding us of how necessary it is in our lives to follow Christ, to put others first, and to do it right now. That's our choice. We have that choice to make each and every day, and it's that's our commitment to Him. He's right there waiting with open arms. He has gifted us this life day in and day out, and He is right there ready for us. What is our commitment to Him? Before you say, I do, there's so many things that we have to do. We call ourselves Christians. We have a responsibility before you say, I do. So let's go ahead and move forward with this morning's call with our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good morning, Mr. Carr.
Good morning, Ms. Tanner.
How you doing, sir? How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm wonderful, yourself.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Do you mind opening us up with prayer, please?
Sure, no problem. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this gift called life. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together from far and near to just share in your word this morning and to worship you. We have so much that we have to offer, Heavenly Father, because you've given us this gift called life. May we do so. May we do so with open hearts and open minds, because Heavenly Father, everything comes through you. And may we appreciate and understand that and operate being reminded that you, Heavenly Father, have the path, the vision of what it is for our lives. We thank you again for this ministry. We thank you for our leader, and we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm have Ms. Breon with me this morning. And y'all, we're talking about Before You Say I Do. I love the topic, as most topics, all topics. Okay, this is important. We take heed, because before we say I do, it's way more than marriage. As a matter of fact, it's more than a friendship. Okay, let's look at God. Before we say I do to Him, what about before He says I do to us? But before I get started this morning, I'm going to like actually let Ms. Shabri speak. You there, Ms. Shabri?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Do you have a little something, for us?
Yes, I have a little something.
Okay, what's that?
Okay, good morning, everyone. Before you say I do, God wants us to develop these spiritual characteristics that He has. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not poofed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth, bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, love never fails. That's some of the characteristics that God has for us. Also, in Galatians 5:22-23 says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberant about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitment, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energy wisely. That's in Galatians 5:22-23. These and other characteristics, spiritual characteristics, provide us with a lifetime goal for growth. We need to be very aware of these characteristics and continue to seek God's help to develop them. Without a growing level of spiritual maturity and character, there can be friction and conflict that can eat away at any relationship. If you need just spiritual commitment, these are the characteristics that you need to involve in your life. If you just commit to these spiritual characteristics, you will be able to work through any challenges that come up in any relationship you may have. Again, the scriptures I read this morning was 1 Corinthians 13:5-23. I hope you ate well.
Thank you so much. So, y'all, we're talking about before we say I do. Now, one of the things about this pertaining marriage, of course, is before you walk down the aisle, before you commit to something for the long haul, the long term, we cannot get into situations and call it marriage. A situation is that thing to where you really don't know if God put it together. You put it
right.
A situation is one of those things where I like them. I love them with all my heart. But do you see yourself standing before God taking on their account as well? Situations are temptation-driven, flesh-driven situations. So before we get to us, let's look at God. Before God says, I do. Remember, he says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is vitally important because there's a criteria. There's a criteria when it comes to being what we call a helpmeet. Now, that's amazing, huh? What do we bring to the table? Do you bring strife? Confusion? Or do you bring assistance? Do you provide help, a source of confidence? If it was all in your hands, would you be the one, would you be the go-to person? To help me. Y'all hear me say it quite often before you say I do. Y'all hear me say this quite often before you say I do. Stop saying, won't God do it? And shouldn't we? In other words, in any relationship, we should be the action and not necessarily the words. The voice.
Right. All right.
You know how many people say I do based on what they like, but not based on what they are? Because love is an action.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It starts off as a word. But unlike most things, simultaneously, it is action as well.
Okay.
A lot of times we make excuses for the things that we love. And the excuses are only because it never provided you action. Because if it was action behind the word, you wouldn't have to make excuses. Now, would we?
Right.
I hope y'all follow me now. The thing about it is, God is not going to make no excuse. Because, see, life is about a bunch of actions. And your actions speak much like, he said, although you praise me with your mouths, your hearts are far from me. What he's saying is, if you had a heart after me, you yourself would be after me. And it will be easy for me, King David, to say I do. It's easy for God to say I do when many are called but few are chosen, when you actually come towards his voice. Come meaning move. It's actually
right.
Because for us to say, I love you, God, but we go in the other direction, don't mean that we love God, not do it. I need to
That's
say that
right.
again.
for us to make a plea, for us to make a stance and a statement and boldly say, I love God. You can't tell me I don't. Well, how you love God and you never met him at the altar?
All right.
Come on.
What stopped you from going?
Hmm.
How do we love God? And the Bible says, how can two walk together unless there be an agreement? You don't even agree with God. Don't want to hear his word. And then number two, what you don't want to hear, you know you can't listen to.
Right.
Mm.
Because the difference is you was born with hearing. Listening to is something that is learned. It's acquired. Because listening is taking what you heard and putting it into action.
All right now.
How can we place into action something that we never heard? Because we reject him. But like some brides, but like some grooms, we'll say, let me get the bachelor party done. Yeah, come on, talk with me now. Let me get the bachelor party done. Yeah, come on, talk to me now. And then I'll be straight in the day of judgment. In other words, life to many folk is a bachelorette or a bachelor party. And they think heaven is wedding day. My God.
Well, come on now.
Oh, I'm going to talk to you this morning. Because it says before you say I do. In other words, you don't prepare when you get there. Your preparation is while everybody else partying, doing their bachelorette party. We should be living because he clearly says, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Translated, before you say I do. In other words, give me something to say I do too. I want the wife before the wife. I want the wife who was a wife before she walked down the aisle to heaven. In other words, God wants the wife who's a wife before the house in heaven. God wants the wife before the wife before the riches in heaven. God wants the wife before the wife because she has a veil on. She can't see him yet, and he can't see her face yet. That's the thing, because nobody has seen God, huh?
Come on.
That's right.
That means it ain't wedding day yet. Oh.
Come on.
Amen.
See, this is where faith starts to come into play. Huh? Because you're not supposed to see the bride's face yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
That ain't that something? Funny part about it is, you saw the bride's face before the ceremony.
Mm. Come on.
Because if you didn't see bride's face, how you make connection?
All right.
Right.
Funny part about it is, we see God's word all the time. But we turn away from it.
Right, right.
See, a lot of people get cold feet.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people refuse to get married because they think their marriage is going to put them on lockdown.
Mm.
A lot of people listening to the wrong source because that's what Satan's saying. As a matter of fact, he's going to put you on lockdown because that temporary freedom you think you have is going to lead to eternal lockdown.
Right.
Come on.
Acorn better say the best. I'm locked up. They won't let me out.
That's right.
Huh? Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Right here. In God, it takes faith to see the big picture.
Yes.
It takes faith. So before God says I do, he's not about to get connected to something that's not connected to him.
Right.
All right now.
You know how many people on the surface say you look good? You smell good? You're very intelligent? You're a great woman? You're a great man? But to the core, they can never be with you? Because your standards are different.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
You understand how important that is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just because people say they love God don't mean they love God. Because if you love God, God has a tricky way of showing you who he is.
Mm-hmm.
God will take what you want to see him through, the prism through what you want to see him through, the spectrum in what you want to see him through, and he will crush that. He won't give that a sign nor a clue. He'll take the very thing that you least expect, like the person next to you, and use them. Because if you know your husband, you should recognize his voice at any time.
That's
so
right.
How can God commit to something that has never committed to him?
Right.
Mm.
Catch what I'm saying, folks.
Oh, yeah.
How can you see when you're really connected to God? It ain't about won't he do it. When you connected to God, you start to accept God as his word, and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we help make
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Come
we
on.
Are the help. We are the helpmate. You understand? You connected to God because we become the action to his powerful word.
Yes.
Amen.
This is how you know you belong to God, because we fit into the puzzle.
Hmm?
Best friends, y'all can finish one another's sentences. You can know one another's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the word of God cuts to the bone and the marrow, even discerning the intentions and the thoughts of one's heart. If we connect to God, huh? Wait, watch this. Before you say I do, if you connected to that husband, shouldn't you be able to run the business that both of y'all invested in? Boy, I do.
Yeah.
I got to say it, Ms. Deanna, Ms. Rin.
Mm-hmm.
How you connected, yeah. You take no ownership in it.
All
right. I would never tell God, yeah. God, that this is your vision. I would never tell God that earth is his vision when he gave me power and authority. Why would he give me power and authority for me to just sit back on the sideline and I'm supposed to be married to him? Why?
He wouldn't.
Oh, my God. Talk to me. Because if we go, amen, let's amen, everything is true. Why?
That's
that is
right.
True.
That means it ain't no connectivity there. That means we should be as passionate about it as our husband would be.
Right.
All right.
Oh, yeah. When you marry, you're no longer two, you become one. The world says 1 + 1 = 2. God says 1 + 1 = 1.
Right.
He does.
Well, ain't that something? Well. Ain't that something? Huh? Before
oh,
you
yes.
say I do, ain't that something? Being equally yoked is important.
Yes, it is.
You've heard before, same purpose, different direction. Who said that? Satan?
Mm.
Because if you got the same purpose, Mr. Bree, Ms. Tiana,
mm-hmm.
you got to be going in the same direction.
Right.
Right.
If people come with these, this cliche stuff to make it sound good, purpose is direction. That's what
right.
say, boo-boo. Purpose
come
is
on.
Direction. How can you walk together less? Huh? How can two people walk together less than be in agreement? To walk together
right.
meaning you're going in the same direction.
That's right.
That's right.
You establishing a marriage, a friendship, you're establishing a bond. That means you got to be going in the same direction.
That's right.
Of course.
If you're not going in the same direction, watch this, Mr. Bree. I was out there pulling a trash can, y'all, just the other day, through grass. It was heavy. Had a lot of debris in it, cleaning up and doing yard work. I had some help, Miss Tiana.
Uh-huh.
Without the help, it would have been harder for me. But even with help, my God, catch this, y'all, before you say I do. Even with help, huh? Somebody said it's better to be, I'd rather be alone, huh? Even with help, if the help is pulling to the right, and I'm pulling to the left, where are we going?
Mm-hmm. Nowhere.
Separate directions? Nope.
You ain't going nowhere?
No.
You ain't going nowhere at all, Ms. Dale. You got it right. You're not going nowhere. You know this? See,
yes.
Some people, oh my God, get it twisted. The husband said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you are not fit to be married to him. God's word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Bible said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where you find your husband that's walking down the aisle. If you put your hand to say, I'm going to do the work, then it looks like you committed. But look at where your eyes are, because you will follow where your eyes go. My God, unless somebody knows something different.
Come on now.
What you focus on grows.
Right.
So if you're looking back, you know you're about to go there.
That's okay. Right.
You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not fit for God. Because, see, some people say this. Ooh, I love God, and you're helping them pull the trash can. I love God, and you help them bring in unity. I love God, and you're getting up and going to church. I love God, and you're in the marriage, the physical marriage. But just because you have your hand on it, don't mean that your heart is in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know how many people say they love God, but God, I ain't there yet? Hold on. Pause. Oh, we know you're going to grow. But don't say you love me in a marriage and you ain't there yet. You got to have the basics down. You got to have commitment down. You got to have loyalty down. You got to have integrity and character down. You got to have purpose down. Those are something things that you shouldn't lack. You can't say you're in the marriage, but my commitment ain't all the way there yet. Well, you're not in the marriage. You're just on paper. Oh. Y'all not catching it yet. See, a lot of people worry about the paper. A lot of people worry about the Bible, but they're not worried about, they're not, it's something bigger than the Bible. Just because you hold it and read it, just because you know it and you can quote it, does not mean that you are married to God.
Right.
See, that's a paper marriage.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to talk it. That's a paper marriage. A lot of people married on paper. As a matter of fact, it's mighty funny when it come marriage day, that same paper, they'll go and date outside of a marriage that they still in. Huh? So they say we separated, but we just married on paper. But why you want to change the dynamics now? Because it was paper that got you there, right? So you
right.
Say,
come on. Right.
Oh, but now we want to change the dynamics. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. See, before you say I do, should you line up with your husband?
Yes.
If it's going to be paper marriage at the end, it should be paper marriage in the beginning. In other words, baby, just because we don't paper marriage, I don't believe God put this together. Why you don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Come on. All right.
Because the paper don't mean that you're married. When you open your Bible and read your Bible, don't mean that you're married. Don't mean that you're qualified. Don't mean that you're approved.
Okay.
The Bible did not say read to show yourself approved. He said to study. And when you know you study, study comes with something called application.
Right.
You just learn, but apply. That's what study
right.
is. Oh, Lord. I'm giving too much information. There's a difference between reading something and studying it.
Tell it.
But see, this is the marriage laws. This is the covenant list. These are things that we should be looking for because this is what God is looking for. Before he selects a wife and finds that good thing, he evaluates it. God don't want to the marriage day, the wedding day. God want to check out the bachelorette party.
Come on.
God want to check out the bachelor party. He want to check out your life. Because if you're committed to me just by my word, I know you for me. Because if you're trying to get just to get to the silver and gold, the streets paved in gold, the mansions, you're going to be sadly mistaken because somebody told you wrong. Because, you know, heaven is made up of peace and joy. Somebody said silver and gold. How you know when you never seen it? What picture did you have? But if you was about God, you would understand that riches and glory has nothing to do with Ben Franks and presidents.
Yes.
See, a lot of us say I do for the wrong reason because we're looking for the benefit that we won't ever get. Because when it comes to God, flesh has no driving force. Flesh has no matter in the situation. It has no voice. That means whatever
right.
your flesh told you to get there is going to leave you. Your flesh can't get you down the aisle.
Come on now.
Hmm.
Your flesh can't get you to God.
Come on.
That's right.
Huh? Before you say, I do, the covenant, the promise, the relationship, is your word your bond? Miss Tia and I done heard this before. A couple, Mr. Bree, mm-hmm. one was lying to the other one so much, and I'm on the phone in the middle. And the other one said, so you expect me to believe you with all that lying? The other one who did all the lying said, yes, I do. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I just heard. You did all this lying for how long? And you expect that individual to say, they believe you? Hold on. See, I strongly would suggest that that individual step back and step back now. Because if you believe the lie, you will never believe the truth.
Right.
Right.
You're only going to believe the lie or the truth. You can't split hairs.
Okay.
Ain't that something, y'all?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
I want to write down some pointers. Marriage checklist. Put this at the top of your paper. Before you say I do, I'm going to put it back on marriage this morning. Before you say I do, marriage checklist. Y'all let me know when y'all ready now.
Oh, yes.
Ready.
We got 10 commandments. I'm going to give us 10 pointers. How about that? Sound
good? All right.
Marriage checklist. Before you say I do, number one. First of all, know that marriage is a promise. It's a covenant. It is a serious relationship. It's nothing to be played with. You don't just do marriage to experience it. You are marriage. In other words, marriage to some is a ceremony, while marriage to others who are in God is who you are.
Right.
Marriage should be become who you are. This is not number one. I'm just telling y'all before we get started. Marriage should be who you are. In other words, you never take it off when you commit to it.
Right now.
If you change from day one to year eight, if you change from day one to year three, you was never it. Because I don't think unless you got Michael Jackson money, you can change your skin tone.
All right now.
I mean, you can go in a stun, but eventually it's going to kind of, you know, blend back together. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is something that you become, not something that you're involved in.
That's right.
Help somebody out this morning. It's something that you become. In other words, when you see that mate that God has called for you, immediately things stop. Not over time.
Yeah. Nope.
The marriage can grow. But that means it only grows, Miss Tiana, after Mr. Bree, I'm already in it. In other words, I'm committed. In other words, my basics, my commitment, my love, my loyalty, my integrity, my character is already there. They grow. In other words, I've never cheated on you from day one.
Right.
That's right.
That means, oh, yeah. Because some people say, well, that's okay. No, it ain't okay.
Nope.
No,
that's right.
No, it's not.
Hmm.
Ain't nobody perfect. Well, you better be perfect in those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Come on.
That's a standard, folks. Okay? So the first one, number one on the marriage checklist is that marriage is a committed partnership between a man and a woman. Notice I said between a man and a woman, if you have ideas and you want to argue, I'm not here to argue about anything. I'm telling you, thus said the Lord. Take it up with him. It's between a man and a woman.
All right.
You follow me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Marriage. That's number one, a committed partnership, union, partnership, promise, partnership, relationship, covenant,
between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The marriage ain't complete until God made the woman.
That's right.
Come on now.
The foundation was set, but here comes the pillar.
Hmm.
Adam was the foundation, but it took the woman to make it complete.
Right, right.
Everybody got to know their role. Somebody told you you independent. Well, if you everything that you need, don't worry about marriage and don't even worry about God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because Jesus walked solo, but he was never independent, baby.
All right, now.
Huh? Ain't that something?
Yes.
That's amazing, huh, folks? Marriage, secular, is number one, is a committed partnership between a man and a woman. Hmm. You do know that God could have literally made her from the dust, right? From the
Yes.
He did with Adam. He breathed into his nostrils. But see, God chose to make her in a different way. He took her from man's flesh, Adam's flesh, and his bone.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Y'all know what the illustration meant? Y'all know what that meant? In other words,
no.
The reason why he did it that way is because symbolically, there was a symbolization. Symbolically, all that means is that we are one flesh when you marry. That's all that meant. My God. Satan wants you to think that you're independent and you don't need that, you don't need him, and you don't need her. When you become married, you become one flesh, you become one mind. Yes, Lord, you become one. In other words, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. If you married naturally like that, you better become spiritually married to God like that. That means some people say I'm human. You human, baby. I'm spirit. I came from him, and I'm going back to him. I came from God's rib. Don't tell me what I am. Speak for yourself.
All right.
I'm married to God.
I'm
God's rib. Mm-hmm. How many people like ribs?
Yeah.
Somebody said, Miss Tian, they're talking about I'm on a diet. I don't eat them no more. Mm-hmm.
All right.
There's checklist, people. Before you say I do, you got to know the whole foundation of why Eve, why we came from his rib, his image he created us in, came from his rib and not the dust.
Hmm. Right.
God didn't create us separate. If he didn't create us separate, he created us to be together.
Yep.
Why did we?
Yep.
Who separated it?
Okay.
Number one, tell them what number one is again, Ms. Shabree.
Marriage is a committed partnership between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. So all it is committed, y'all. Your hearts intertwine. Your thoughts intertwine. Your intentions intertwine. They become
right.
One. You understand?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell y'all something. When it comes to marriage, God treats that very, very seriously.
Right.
Man has to play with marriage. And saying nothing wrong with because he said he's going through a divorce. She says she's going through a divorce. Baby,
mm-hmm.
If you knew the severity behind that, you wouldn't play with
mm-hmm.
that.
Exactly.
The United States of America's approach, but in other countries, they don't play with that. See, don't miss tradition to where you miss God. Huh? Do unto others as you would have them do it to you. Some people don't mind playing with somebody else's marriage because somebody played with theirs. Hurt people. But see, when you're married to God, it might be an indicator that you're not married to God because if your husband, God, wouldn't touch you, why are you?
Amen.
That's right.
So you must be separated from God too then, huh? You going through a divorce or you done divorced already? He left you?
No.
Oh, don't get it twisted because God says the only reason for divorce is marriage unfaithfulness. If he tells us that, you know he'll do that.
Right. Yes.
Oh, don't get it twisted. What you think a reprobate mind comes from? That's a lack of no more covering. Ooh, that mean that marriage license that you signed in blood no longer exists because of you. Because God ain't
right.
The funny part about it, before you say I do, some people don't want to be in the marriage, but they don't mind calling back on the spouse. They don't mind letting the old spouse do things for them.
Morning.
Miss Tiana, some people feel cool with their old spouse because they know their old spouse can do stuff. You know, they like carpenters. You know, they're carpenter. Oh, I'm sorry, he's a jack of all trades, but he's a master of them, too. See, he's a carpenter, so they know he can still work on their house. See, they don't want to be married to him and stay in his house, but they do want to call him every so often. Not Peter, not John, Jesus. They want to call him every so often so they can get free labor. Yes, Lord. They don't want to be married and be in a perfect house, but because it requires their independence to the fall to the wayside, because they came from him, they got to be one with him, and they don't want that type of walk. They don't want the accountability walk. They want the bachelorette, the bachelor walk. Huh?
Okay.
They want the title marriage, but they want the lifestyle. Do me.
Ooh.
So I'm breaking this stuff down naturally, because you know this is how life goes for real, how people do. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
They don't want the marriage, but we still cool. But let the spouse, the former spouse, do something for them, and they will not reject it.
Not at all.
That's why they say, won't God do it? They know they ain't married to him no more. Because you don't have to say something about what your husband will do when you're in the house helping him.
Come on now.
Oh, they missed that one. That went clean over there, huh?
That's real.
If I'm in there helping him, and I'm his helpmeet, and I'm married to him, and I done said I do, but I wait before I do, I was helping him before. See, if he is out there in the yard, I'm out in the yard.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Come on. Yeah, I can't be the woman talking about I don't get sweaty. That's your husband.
That's
he
right.
Fight, I fight.
That's right.
If you don't like, I don't like. We become one. How can you, be in the same house and divided, talk about, well, he don't like them, I do. Boy, you got to work with me.
No. That don't happen. No.
Number one, marriage is a committed partnership between a man and a woman. Number two, let me go down this list. Number two, marriage is a cooperative effort between equal partners. Ooh, now this, y'all heard the qualifier right there. I'm going to say it again so you can write it down. Number two, marriage is a cooperative effort between equal partners. Y'all heard that? The qualifying words were equal partners. In other words, I'm saying being equally yoked. You can't cooperate in this mission if you're not equally yoked. That don't mean that we're on the same level. That don't mean that we have the same finance. That don't mean that we have the same intellect, because I'm not on God's level financially. I'm not on God's level intellectually, but I am going in the same direction. See, equal partners mean that we're going in the same direction. See, in other words, we got the same purpose.
Right.
All right.
You can't say that you want to be married to God, but you live a life of a bachelor or a bachelorette.
That's right.
You can't say you want to be married to her. You can't say you want to be married to him. Before I say I do, you can't say you want to be married, but your lifestyle suggests otherwise. Because your words, you know, they pale in comparison to your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't heard it, right? Actions speak louder. If you break that down, if they speak louder, that means what you say is little to voiceless. Little to voiceless. But what you do, man, you hurt my ears.
Okay.
Because that's loud.
Yeah.
People say, turn that volume down. Golly, that's loud. What you do speaks far greater than what you say.
Okay, now.
Marriage is a cooperative. That means you cooperate. Being cooperative, Miss Tiana, Miss Marie, so cooperate meaning I have my hands on it. I'm not going to ever say it's just yours. God might have used you, Adam, to bring the vision forward. But he created me. He pulled me from you, Adam. We married. So much as it's your vision, it's my vision. That's called taking ownership. That means I'm going to make sure the baby grow too. My God.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. See, somebody done lied because they got into marriage, in the partnership, the cooperative effort, and said it's a baby and it's our thing, but then they turned around and said, nah, it's your thing. Somebody don't want the baby no more. They don't always point the finger at the man because it could be the woman.
Okay.
Okay.
That's true.
That's when people start saying, well, it's your thing, what you want me to do. I thought you was an equal partner.
Right.
I'm talking. I thought you was an equal partner. What happened? See, if your thoughts change and your heart change, that means you was never in God. Because he's the same yesterday, okay, he's the same today and forevermore. So you can't possibly be married to him. So if you can't commit to him, you know you couldn't be married to me.
All right now.
Okay.
Call it what it is. And then if you're really married and you got that bloodline in you because you become married, even when the devil starts to kick up, it's like air pressure. They got them new cars that when it starts to go on flat, it fills itself up. Why you don't check the devil and get him out of there?
Huh.
Oof. That's y'all didn't hear me. When you start to slip in your marriage with God, when you start to slip in your marriage with people, when you start to slip in your marriage with see, you know you can be married to the vision God gave you, too. You should be. So when you start to slip in it, shouldn't you get it right?
Yeah.
You see it happening, and you don't do nothing about it. That means you're submitting to Satan. You can't submit to the bride and the one who's trying to pimp you in the world. You can't submit to two. You're only going to submit to one.
That's right.
Huh? All right. Number two, marriage is a cooperative, effort between two equal partners. That means you got to cooperate in this thing. That means you got to be all in too, Peter. Get out the boat. Some people still got to get in boat, stay in boat mentality. They want to be married and they want to experience the cruise of marriage. They want to go on the vacation of marriage. They want to go on the honeymoon of marriage. Well, marriage ain't a honeymoon. You got to get out the boat, Peter, and you got to work. See, they want to stay on the honeymoon phase of it. That's why the rest of the disciples stayed in the boat. They thought they was on a cruise. Mm-hmm. But see, marriage requires that if my husband works, I'm working too.
Amen. Amen.
Because some people want him to bring everything to the table. Some people want her to bring everything to the table. Some people still looking at God, and you married to God, and you want him to do all the work. Man, that's wrong.
That's right.
You married to God, if my baby out there sweating, I'm sweating too.
That's right.
That's what a real marriage looks like, our children.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk to the kids, because maybe the parents, some parents may not get this. Children, let me talk to you. That's what a real marriage should look. Don't look up to mom and daddy if mom and daddy don't look like the relationship of Jesus to his dad in heaven. See, his daddy was the head. He was the woman, the flesh. And what happened? He did everything that daddy said do. In other words, God, you got it up there. I got it over here.
Right.
Hello?
Okay.
That's what marriage should be, huh?
Uh-huh.
In other words, right, marriage should be God sending us to the bank. He should at least trust you with that, huh?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the bank is here on earth. He sent us to the bank to run back home. He can't trust you with that? You know, because you got a whole bunch of investment in your hand. He can't even trust you with that? You say you married to him? Marriage is a cooperative effort between two equal partners. You know you got to be equally yoked before we can even have the same effort.
That's right.
Right. If that's not the same effort, check the yoke. Let me say it again. Somebody who's thinking about getting married, if you don't see them pulling the same load as you, check the yoke. I guarantee if they don't have the effort, they don't have the yoke. Now, the effort is not what they say. It's what they do. And let's see their commitment. Because, see, some people can sporadically. You know, like you have a car that has bad gas. Oh, it can go fast for the first 10 seconds. But watch it. Boom, 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 boom. Slow down.
That's right. Boom. It does.
Check it, Mr. Bree. If you want to see marriage, let's see the consistency without you telling them in the effort.
Right.
Right.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
You got to honor the same God. You got to honor the same goals. See, it's a cooperative effort between equal partners, number two. You know, when a man gives his life to a woman and the wife gives her life to the man?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You understand?
Yes.
Marriage, equal partners. God is not more important than us, and we're not more important than God. See, he understands us because he tells us to submit one ye to another. You know he submitted to us. How did God submit to us? Because he took care of every need we had.
That's right.
That's right.
The problem is, people who claim they're married to God, they pretending they just got the ring on. Because if he took care of you in a marriage, shouldn't you take care of him?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, checklist number three. Y'all got the first two. Number three, marriage is a gift from God. Now, I don't know what kind of gifts you get on your wedding day, but this gift is from God. This is the one that you better open first and that you better keep open. Everybody needs to see this gift.
Uh-huh.
Huh? This ain't no gift you register for online either. This is a gift that you receive in your heart.
Right.
Okay, now?
See, Satan can mimic God's marriage, but he can't be God's marriage.
That's right.
Mm.
He can imitate it. Halloween proves that.
Huh.
All right.
They got impersonators all the time. Checklist number three, marriage is a gift from God. See, the gift says that when you open it, it has to be put to use. That's why he gave it to you.
Right. Uh-huh.
Amen.
Huh? Come on, y'all. See, I done seen people, Mr. Bree, say stuff like this. Miss Tiana, I messed up. Now you at the mercy of that other individual.
Correct.
Period. 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 Do not bring a knife to a gunfight. In other words, don't bring your fleshly ways to a spiritual warfare. Don't start telling that person where everybody messed up. That ain't going to work. That ain't how you get in, back in God's good graces. Everybody messed up. That don't work.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to help somebody out. Huh? Marriage is a gift. That means it should be handled preciously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's fragile. Huh? It can be easily broken, but you can't scratch it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Huh? That's what he gave Adam and Eve. Huh? Adam and Eve was the first married couple. See, when you elevate your mind, before you say I do, you start to check the beginning when it was perfect. Who performed
right.
the ceremony? Who performed it? But watch this. Not only did God perform it, let me help you out. Before you say I do, who was in the doggone audience trying to deter it?
Hey,
hold on. Since everybody worried about big old wedding celebrations, who was down there? Come on. Oh, boy, I'm going there. Mr. Carter, you're just in cheap. You encouraging him or her not to even have a big wedding.
No.
That's wrong because of marriage. She been dreaming about that whole life. Who been dreaming about her? Eve came from him. Who had the idea of marriage? God had the idea of marriage. It was already preordained. It was arranged already. He pulled her from him. So who was the audience, Kevin?
That's
come on
right.
now.
Huh? All expense paid, number three. Marriage is a gift from God.
It is.
But it's a gift. You don't have no bridezillas. You know how many bridezillas we have? I ain't talking about them bridezillas that you see on TV. I'm talking about us. Because we're supposed to be preparing for heaven. Why are we acting the fool before the wedding? In life.
Right.
Bridezilla.
Come on now.
Take me there, Miss Tiana. Bridezilla. Why are we acting a fool? We trying to dictate to everybody else how it should be. But hold on. God orchestrated this. So when did you become the bride and the wedding coordinator? Remember, he said this life that you have is not your own. See, Eve stayed in her lane just like Adam stayed in his lane. Neither one of them coordinated, God did. But again, who performed the marriage ceremony and what was the ring? Uh-oh.
Come on.
Y'all don't want that talk there. Now, somebody's trying to go look at it right now talking about, I'm going to prove him wrong because they did say I do. Where? The only time they said I do is when he went to sleep and woke up. That's it. God put me to sleep. Y'all want to see where surgery come from. Look at how that surgery is perfect. No clots afterwards. None.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a scar, a blemish. Didn't need no cocoa butter. Not one.
Right.
Huh? Before you say I do, you see that gift from God? When God gives a gift, it's perfect. Now stop saying, that's right, Mr. Carter, because they wasn't perfect. No, you will be perfect more so than they are.
All right now.
And when you actually operate as the perfect gift, you know what not to marry in the first place. So you can't be perfect when you're fooling with foolishness. Because if you have to complain, you're not perfect because God never told you, go back to number two, huh? to be in a union between unequal partners. He never told you that.
Amen.
Nope.
But if you selected the wrong partner, how perfect are you?
Come on now.
Ooh. So if you're not perfect, you'll never see the gift as great, as good.
Huh? Tell it.
Yeah. Number four? Huh? Number four? Ooh. Hold on. Let me go back to number three. Marriage is a gift. Y'all stop marrying out of convenience.
Right.
Come on.
That is not a gift from God. God will take the most inconvenient time for you to marry because you don't have a job. Because you got three kids. Because you don't look like you got the same thing as she has. God will take the most, the things that's not inconvenient, and when it's sent as a gift, he'll challenge you what you naturally see and feel. He can see which one, if you really married to him. Because when it's most inconvenient, huh? He'll see. It's funny how people and they live their life, and we call them crazy, huh? They be in prison and they marry them people. How can they marry and they in prison and you can't marry and you in your situation? If God may come as you are, if he said that's your husband or your wife, what you waiting on?
All right.
All right, man.
Because the time may never be perfect. I mean,
that's right.
Because you're not perfect, huh?
Tell
right.
If you want to have everything straight before you get it together, I want to lose weight. Baby, why lose weight before the wedding when you're not going to keep it off? Man, just say that. Yeah, I said this. You know why? Come as you are. That man accepts you, for who you are. Handle that. Now y'all do it together.
Thank you.
So you getting ready for one day as opposed to a lifetime?
Come on now.
You got to be obsessed with marriage. I said it, and I'm going to say it again. You got to be obsessed with marriage. You know what obsession is? It's a great desire. It's great. It's excessive. That means I'm obsessed with God. I'm excessive. Mr. Carter, yes. Because, you see, people call it OCD. I call it cleanliness. They don't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it funny how people who not clean call it OCD, but people who clean say you need? Know who you get your information from. Because dirty people call it OCD. Clean people say, man, that's okay. Women, you know, that's, y'all clean. Y'all neat.
Right.
Somebody can catch that later. They call me home. Did you say it was OCD? I ain't call you that. You going to call yourself that.
Right.
Checklist number four. Marriage was designed by no other than God.
That's right.
Some people set up their own arrangements. That's not marriage. That's an arrangement. But marriage was designed by God, number four. You know, you set up your own arrangement because y'all been having history. Y'all been together forever. You setting it up. Because God can take something that you've been only knowing for a month. You crazy, Mr. Carr. Peter was crazy, too, when he walked on water. As a matter of fact, God was crazy when he committed to the backslider, too, huh? He was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was crazy. Huh?
Right. Mm.
Daniel was crazy. David was crazy. Oh, we got a whole lot of people that's in heaven that's crazy, huh? You right. That's cool.
Right.
They married. Mm-hmm. Are you? Because you can have on a natural ring and not have on a spiritual ring. Where you going with that?
Nowhere.
Huh? Who's the best marriage counselor? The one who you said was never married, Jesus. But he was married.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how much people don't know. You can't tell me nothing about marriage when you've never been married. He was married.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah. Ooh, number four, checklist. Marriage was designed by God.
Yes.
Hmm? Four. A under number four, marriage was designed by God. A. Huh? You got three basic steps. Three basic aspects under number four, A, B, and C. A, huh? This is how you know it's a marriage designed by God. The man and woman leave their parents.
That's right.
Right.
The man, Lord hit me, and woman, Lord hit me. Let me stop saying Lord hit me. Y'all hit me. The man and the woman leave their parents, and in the public act, they make a promise, huh, with their life to the other spouse.
Yep.
Y'all
Your word is your bond. If you break your promise, what are you?
Nothing.
That's in front of everybody, public act.
Right.
Yep.
That's A. B, the aspects, three basic aspects of how you know it's designed by God. See, it's designed by God, A, when they leave their mother and their father, man and woman, and make a promise to the spouse with their life, not with their words. B, the man and the woman are joined together by taking responsibility for each other's welfare and their life. Uh-oh, y'all missed that?
No, that's right.
Then, B, this is how you know the marriage is designed by God. The man and the woman are joined together, huh, by taking responsibility for each other's welfare and their life, and by loving their mate over and above all things. How you put your kids before your spouse, you know that wasn't designed by God. I'm going to tell it. Go ahead and get mad at me. I love it because that's not peculiar. That's familiar. This is what the world does. God was married to us, and he put his son before us. He sent his son for us. You better get your mind right.
That's right.
I want to talk to the people who are so intelligent. My child come first. Well, if his child came first, you wouldn't even be married to him because you wouldn't have the opportunity.
Right. That's right.
He made his son to sacrifice. He didn't sacrifice his marriage. He sacrificed his son. Woo!
That's right.
Somebody won't get this just yet. So you telling me I should put my child aside? I'm telling you, you shouldn't put your guard down. Not your guard, your God down. Your marriage is more important than anything. As a matter of fact, you raise your children up to leave the house. You're not going to be married. Why you think you're married? But some people think they're married to their kids. That's why your child still 40, 30, 29 still living at your house. You talking about me? I said your name?
Mm-hmm.
They're still living at your house. You know why? Because you're married to them. That is your companion. They keep you company.
Yep.
Now, we talk about incest. There you go. Oh, they ain't even catch that part, though, huh?
Come on.
Let's get by you now. Go ahead. There you go. You think that incest
come
is
on.
Good? Huh? You think that it's physical intimacy? Okay.
Come on now.
Because if that's a sin, and that's not, you know, it got to be physical, but then why did he say if you lust after somebody in your heart? You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Huh? Marriage was designed by God. I'm giving A, B, and C as far as the three aspects, how you know it's designed by God. And B, huh? The man and the woman are joined together by taking responsibility for each other's welfare and their life. And by loving their mate, their spouse, above all things. You know it's designed above God, I mean by God, when you love them more than everything else. When you love them more than your homeboy opinion. When you love her more than your homeboy opinion. When you love him more than your homegirl opinion. When you love them more than your parents' opinion. You know it's designed by God.
That's right.
Yeah.
In proper aspects. As a matter of fact, above all else, when you love them above yourself.
Okay, now.
Oh, my God. Hello? And C?
Yeah.
Number four? C? I'm giving the three aspects. You know it's designed by God when the two become one flesh. When the two become one flesh, not only spiritually, but physically, with a commitment, intimacy. You understand? That's reserved for marriage alone. If you want a strong marriage, you're going to possess all three, A, B, and C. That's how you know it's designed by God. See, the physical act is indicative of the spiritual act. That means you only lay down with your spouse. That means spiritually, nobody else can't tell me nothing but my God. Because I'm committed.
Right. Come on.
Because there's too many diseases out there. Not only natural diseases, you got spiritual diseases. People, church hopping. How you married to God and you going from this church to that church? People, idea hopping. You going from that opinion to that opinion. They going from this thing to that thing. They change by the day. How you married to God and you have all those sexual partners?
All right.
Because God
tell
is perfect. See, the thing is, we want to experience sex over there and see if our spouse got it. And then if our spouse got it, that means I'll stay with them. But if you get in a marriage based on the physical, you'll never marry God. Because that ain't
the type
of... Okay, I'm going to leave it right there.
Come on.
That was number four. Look at my time right now. Number five, marriage is intended to be a relationship of growing openness. Before you say I do. Number five, marriage is intended to be a relationship of growing openness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Y'all know that? Openness. You know how them kids run through their house, don't even know they're naked? As a matter of fact, you remember Adam and Eve didn't know they was naked? Growing open.
Right.
You don't have nothing, excuse me, you don't have nothing to be embarrassed about when you're innocent.
Yes, indeed.
You know you hide things in a marriage when you know you're not innocent, because the person who hides knows that it's not right. That's why Adam and
right.
Eve hid after they was married. See, they was innocent at first. They was naked.
Right.
But they hid it when they knew it was something wrong. You ever notice how you married and your wife walking around, your husband walking around, because they got shirts and stuff on, talking about they're not comfortable? How you not comfortable when you married?
Right,
okay.
Right.
But I'm not talking. Because
come
if
on.
You married, if you not married, why you laying down with them anyway? Talking about, I got to
okay.
Put a shirt over my head. What? Nah, we just be playing hide and go seek. No, you talking about that woman don't look good. Huh? Huh? You married every picture you covering up your stomach, sir, man. What's going on? Because if that's your bed, your boo, your everything, you shouldn't be ashamed of nothing. There should be complete nakedness. And what I mean by nakedness, I ain't talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. We hide from God because we're not comfortable,
right.
Because we know we're not innocent. Because the things that we possess, we know ain't true.
Come on now.
You know where they come from. Yes, Lord. You know if you're hiding your natural body, your spiritual body, you're hiding too, right?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's why a lot of people don't want to be intimate with God. They want to go in the bedroom with socks on, talking about my feet messed up. Mm-hmm. See, but the salon did that wrong. Okay. Huh?
No.
You put up all the sheets, huh? Right?
Lord, have mercy.
But in seriousness, marriage is intended to be a relationship of growing openness, people.
Yeah.
Man. Huh? See, sin creates awkwardness. Lord, I don't even have enough time. Sin creates awkwardness, people. Sin creates shame, people. And see,
mm-hmm.
After your awkwardness and your shame, people, it starts to distort and destroys openness, people. You understand? It starts to create barriers between you and your spouse, people.
Right, right.
You know, people have marriages. You know, marriages have barriers, don't they? You can't come in the bathroom when I'm using it. Baby, that is your spouse. What are you talking
right.
about?
Come on.
Oh, my God. If your spouse can't be one with you, if you're in the bathroom and y'all one. Mr. Carr, but that's
right.
disgusting. Baby, it don't matter. Our life is disgusting to God. Sin stinks, and God is still with us. When you married, if you can smell baby poop, why you can't smell your spouse poop? I don't go there this morning. How?
Come on. Come on.
All right.
So you would be the person in sickness and in health. You would be the person when your spouse gets sick, you wouldn't right there behind, huh? But the CNA would.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how people are doing mm-hmm. for money, but they won't do it for love. My God.
All right,
come
now, come on. Come on. Come on.
Tell the truth.
Ain't that something this morning, y'all?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Huh? Before you say I do, you better make sure what you're getting hooked up to. I'm going to leave it at five. I'm going to leave it at five. They want the rest, but I'm going to leave it right there. That's what we got SundayMorningBreakfast.org for. All right? Now let's go ahead and pray, please.
All right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this gift of marriage. Thank you for choosing us. Heavenly Father, may we love you so much to choose you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, this commitment is real. And Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us each and every day how exactly it is that we are to commit to one another. You sent your son, and that right there was the largest commitment ever given. So we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you again for this ministry and for our leader and the word that's gone forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, y'all have a great day. Remember, again, okay, Miss Tiana, we're going to be on the phone for 15 minutes later on this evening. She's only going to tell, you know, Wednesday and Saturday mornings, our Sunday morning breakfast. This is our new time on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. We're doing it to give people enough time to get up, things of that nature, Okay, nice audience this morning, and we're going to leave it there, okay? So it's Wednesday night, 8 p.m., that's Central Standard Time. Okay, that's Central. So on the West Coast, East Coast, know your time ranges, okay? And then on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's the 2 days that we're doing them. The other days we will extend it on Wednesday. We'll let you know what we got going on, but that's our life coaching. All right? That's a whole nother number. All right? Y'all have a great day, and we'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.